listening to Making Good. I'm Renee Blanchard, founder and operator of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery, located here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Church Alley is a people-first, mission-driven small business that I opened in 2013. And the best part about owning a cafe is the people. So in this podcast, I interview the makers, the farmers, and the many interesting people I've met through the shops, the folks doing the good work here in Louisiana and all along the Gulf Coast. Let's get started. Hey, so I wanted to do a little intro to this episode. I sat down with my own mental health therapist of many years, Dr. Tanya, to discuss mental health at this moment in the pandemic and in New Orleans. So it's a more serious conversation than the other episodes. We talk, so, and I just kind of wanted to give y'all a heads up. So we touch on gun violence and depression and anger. We talk about resilience. Suicide is mentioned. She shares a lot of tips and resources. And then we end the episode with a short meditation. So if you're driving and you get to the end of it, maybe pull over or pause it and wait and do the meditation when you get home. And then also, if you don't feel up for a big conversation right now, come back to this episode at a different time. All right, here's Dr. Tanya.
My name is Dr. Tanya Radiker. I have a PhD in counseling. So I'm a licensed professional counselor in Louisiana, as well as I'm a registered nurse. I used to practice as a neonatal nurse practitioner. As a counselor, I am certified in emotionally focused therapy, trauma therapy, hypnotherapy, trained in EMDR, perinatal mood disorders. So I have a lot of clients with kind of a high stress level. And during COVID, all of those traumas were really activated more than usual. So I actually had a pretty big increase in clients, and the clients that I already had were really kind of activated a good bit.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thanks for being here. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about what you were just talking about. So at the shop and when, you know, we talk to so many people, just like customers and employees and staff. And what everyone has been saying is that everyone is just exhausted right now. Like, we're just tired. And yes, the heat is kind of rolling in. I'm talking to you in the beginning of June. And that is always a factor, but it's been happening. You know, people are really burnt out and they're either really anxious to kind of open up, even if they're fully vaccinated, or they're just really excited and not thinking about anything else. But the exhaustion that everyone is kind of talking about right now and through the end of spring and now into summer seems to be the most common feeling. So, like, from your experience, and what emotions are people talking about right now? Like, what do you keep seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I notice is that people have what I've identified as COVID fatigue. And that, you know, we went through this crisis period last March, and I think by June, what I saw with my clients in private practice was they were starting to kind of get a little restless because everybody had been quarantined for so long. So they were experiencing this feeling of isolation. Overwhelmed, there was, your body was activated all the time because there was a sense of unsafe. Like, the moment you walked out of your home, you started looking at, did I touch this? Who was I near? Do I have my mask on? So your body really never got to go into this place of relaxation. So around the June of last year, we were noticing people kind of just getting tired of being on hyper alert. Then, you know, we have this period from June to March again, where now we're coming up on a full year and people were ready to just get out. It was okay, enough. The vaccines came out. Then there was this whole discussion around the vaccines. Then there's been a discussion around masks. So from March to now June again, I think what you're seeing is a lot of feeling of not knowing what to do. Should we keep masking? Will the vaccines work? So maybe a lot of still unrest or uneasiness. And I think really just exhausted with a lot of unknowns. If you think about it, this has been a year and a half, basically, where we've been functioning as human beings in the realm of unknown and not knowing what's coming next. And for human beings, that is exhausting.
Right. Yeah, it's just constant. And so how do we recognize when our feelings day to day may be related to the pandemic? And like, because sometimes we'll just, how do we know that we just haven't slept enough, or that person is really is annoying, or whatever it is?
No, that's a great question. At this point, it's really hard to tell, because you can't separate. We can't separate the fact that we have all gone through a pretty traumatic worldwide experience, both with the pandemic and what's been happening politically. So at a time when we're being quarantined and isolated with family members, we're also struggling with family members who are on opposite sides of the political spectrum. Right. So now imagine you're isolated with someone who has very different political beliefs than you have. And then if you throw in that your children have been isolated with you on top of that, we can't kind of ignore what our bodies have experienced in the past year and just think, okay, we are exhausted. So if this person over here would have done the same thing a year and a half ago, would I be as annoyed as I am now? And it's hard to answer that question, because we can't erase what our body has experienced. So I think for me, what I try to get my clients to do, what I have done so frequently this in the past year and a half, is a lot of guided imagery, a lot of relaxation, because we really have to work on calming our bodies down so that we can tolerate anything. Because when you're exhausted, there's not a whole lot you can tolerate.
Right. Everything is prickly, is like pricking at you all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, are people functioning on less sleep? Sure. Are people more stressed, overwhelmed? Absolutely. If you look at statistics, the alcohol consumption has been up through the pandemic, because people are looking for ways to cope that they had not had to look for in the past. So to be able to say, oh, would I be upset with this person if it wasn't a year and a half after COVID? That probably is true, but how do I parse that out? Yeah. So again, if we can all focus on doing whatever we can to get our bodies more calm and relaxed, and less hypervigilant, then we can tolerate more. So that's been my goal with the clients that I have, is, okay, let's sit back, let's breathe, let's work on calm and relaxed, because I can't take away the everyday stresses or the everyday annoyances that are still going to happen.
Right.
But what we do need to do is bring that temperature in our bodies down some. Right. So that we can tolerate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really interesting at the shop, because, you know, we closed in March 13th for a couple of days and kind of reconfigured and then reopened. And we've had all these iterations now of the shop, and we've purposely been behind, like a month or so behind, as regulations have changed, or what, as like, we, you know, I forgot phase 1, phase 2, whatever, all those things. We have kind of, because we didn't want to go back and forth. We didn't want customers to come in and have a different experience. We wanted them to have like the same experience. And that's good for us. Like, you know, we are a home away from home. We're like the third place, you know, for people. And it's worked really well. And we've never really had difficult situations at all throughout the whole pandemic. And we have really great customers. We've never had difficult situations, except for the weekend where the mask mandate was dropped. And I've talked to other business owners, and they've all kind of said the same thing, that like 4 days, it was like a Thursday, I think. And it was like up until the following Tuesday, we had extremely hostile situations happen in the shop. And I know I was more on edge. Customers were that we didn't know were very rude, refusing to, we're still requiring a mask at this time in the shop. And so refusing, and it was very odd. Like the whole situation was very odd. And it felt like people were just not thinking. They were just reacting, you know, and like no one was like, no one was doing anything on purpose. It was like almost like another person had taken over their brain, and it's died down. It hasn't happened again, but that weekend was a mess and all over town too.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually witnessed it myself. I was in line at a certain store and the person in front of me had a basket full of items, got up to the register. And to be honest, it didn't register with me that this person did not have a mask on. I think right. I just was not paying attention. And I saw them throw something on the counter and then walk away and leave the full basket. And it was kind of rude the way they threw it at the person at the cash register. And when I got up there, she said, well, I asked him to put a mask on and he refused and he left. And she proceeded to tell me that the week before someone had done the same thing, shown up without a mask. And she said, I'm really sorry. It's the rules. In addition to the fact that I'm pregnant, at which point this customer laughed at her and then walked away. So, you know, you do have to wonder what is going on that probably people who would not behave that way are behaving that way. And I think, you know, it goes back to what we feel is our right, what we feel is, you know, just part of our agency within ourselves. A lot of that has been restricted. And Americans in particular are not used to being restricted. And so it really has impacted a lot of human beings who have felt this constraint and restriction, like being imposed with something, taking away some of their rights. And I think in the beginning, they could make sense of it because they said, well, it has to do with our health and it's a rule that everybody's following. But then once all these mixed messages started, then it became confusing, frustrating. And again, if you think about the fact that they're already experiencing some COVID fatigue, I think you are seeing human beings behave in a more kind of primitive way, in yeah. fact, in not using the filter that they would normally use, and just being very easily, as you said, reactive. And I mean, I recently read an article where this little six-year-old was shot in the car. I think it was in California. Because there was a little road rage going on and they shot at the car and killed the six-year-old in the car seat. And you do have to wonder if all of this is connected to people just at a boiling point, so to speak, where they can't tolerate anything anymore.
Yeah, I was talking, we actually had a shooting outside my house 2 days ago and we have had it in the past. It's probably the third shooting since I moved here to this house. And it was pretty loud because it was right outside the house. And so we could hear it very loudly. And my tenant has lived here since the 90s, since 99 in the same house. And so in this neighborhood was a lot different then. And I talked to her this morning, several days later, and I just asked her how she was doing. And she just talked about, she was still shaken up by hearing all of those gunshots right next to our wall. But then she started talking about everything else happening in the world. And so it was all one incident, you know, it wasn't pieced. It wasn't just one incident that happened 3 days ago. It was part of everything. Sure. And she just really had a hard time. We talked for a while this morning about it. And so I guess when as a hospitality person, you know, what do you think if I have a customer that's saying that is reacting like that, what do you think is one of the first, how I should respond? Not how I should talk to the person, but how should I personally respond with my own self in that kind of situation?
So grounding yourself so that you don't get hijacked by their emotion is always the most important thing. Pay attention to your body. What happens in your body when someone is rude or aggressive towards you? know what happens so that once you start feeling that and noticing that, you want to ground yourself. And by grounding, I mean both feet firmly on the ground, saying two words, calm and relaxed. If you can just take in three breaths where you breathe in calm, let go with relax, do that about three times, get yourself grounded. Otherwise, we will get hijacked by the emotion that is coming at us because we are wired to protect ourselves. Right. And if it feels to me that someone is attacking me or aggressive, or my body perceives that there is a threat, my body's going to go into its own protection mode. And now I'm going to get hijacked by my own reactivity.
Yeah. And that's like a very natural, you're saying that's just a very natural reaction.
We are wired to survive. And by surviving, our body is wired to figure, to understand what is a threat to us, right? I mean, that's how we survive, by figuring out what's comfortable and what's not comfortable, what's painful and what feels good. And so our body will very quickly go, oh, this feels threatening, do something. So by grounding ourselves, we don't get hijacked by the emotion, and we can look at this person and say, okay, no, this is just an angry, frustrated person. They're really not going to, I don't think at this point, reach across the counter. So I just need to stay grounded. I need to keep my voice low. I need to not get hijacked by their emotion. And I need to work on de-escalating this situation at all costs.
Yeah, one of the things I talk to my staff about regularly is that no one wants a confrontation. Even when they're being aggressive, they're being aggressive to end the conversation, to end the confrontation. And so I always talk about how they usually just want to go. They usually just want to leave, and they don't really want to be reacting like that. And to also, I always tell them, is like, also look around the shop, and there's always going to be customers who are on your side, who are there, who are willing either to get up to just show a presence or to like be a comfort to you. And so those are two things that I always talk about.
Absolutely. Very good things to share with your employees. The other point that I would say is validation. You know, when you're saying they want to end the conversation, what most human beings are looking for is validation and being heard. So if you can say to this person, I totally see why you're frustrated, I understand why this is frustrating for you, a lot of times that will de-escalate the situation in itself because they feel heard and validated. Now, validation is not, I agree with you.
Right.
Validation is, I can see how it feels that way for you, I understand. And a lot of times that in itself will de-escalate the situation because people are getting escalated because they want to be heard. They feel like they're being treated unfairly. I want you to hear me. I want you to treat me fairly. I feel like this has been a lot of unfair stuff that's been happening. Yeah. And all of that is true. We all feel like this has been pretty unfair, but getting escalated and reactive is not going to get you an outcome that you want, but it's hard to tell your body that when you're feeling like out of control at times.
Yeah. One of the things I do, I'm like very much an introvert. And so at the shop, and a lot of our employees talk about this as well, is before we open the door, we spend a couple seconds in our own, like just taking a couple breaths or like grounding ourselves, calming ourselves so that we can then be present, because we give a lot, you know, and that's true for everyone in the service industry, in hotels, bars, retail shops. We all give so much. And so it's important for us to protect that kind of energy a lot of times.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you also always talk about, and you were just talking about bringing awareness to where you're feeling emotions, like big emotions in your body. Mm-hmm. And then being able to recognize them when it happens again in the same spot. Can you just talk a little bit about that practice?
Sure. So for me, I find even for myself that if I can figure out what I feel in my body and what I've connected that to. For example, I know that if I start to feel anger, it kind of starts down from in my gut, and it's almost this heat that starts to rise up, right? So I try to be attuned. And if my body moves from a place of comfort to discomfort, I first try to identify what's happening. And if I've already connected anger in my body with this heat that's rising, the minute I start feeling the heat rising, I'm like, okay, what's happening? What's happening right now in front of you that anger is coming up for you? You need to look at what's happening right now in the present that anger is coming up for you. Or if it's fear, you know, again, where do you feel fear? I feel it in my gut and it kind of is a shaky feeling for me. So I try to stay attuned to my body. And if my body is kind of has that shaky feeling, I say, what's happening right now in front of you? And I will ground myself so that I cannot get hijacked by the emotion, but I can take a pause and try to figure out what's happening so that I can respond and not react.
Yeah. Another thing that's happened, I think, or a lot of people have experienced is just a lot of change, either just losing their job or also making great changes that they probably have wanted to make in the past. And now this has been an opportunity. Nutrition and exercise has been really key for me over this. And I stopped drinking for most of the year, and that was very helpful. And I also have been very, very evaluating the health of relationships. And I know through talking a lot to our customers, a lot of people have been doing the exact same things. Yes. And so we've made these changes internally and externally by either force or on purpose. What kind of advice do you have for people who are maybe experiencing those changes on their own terms and the people around them maybe are not as accepting of those types of changes? We're still kind of in this situation.
Yeah. So I work with a lot of couples, and what the pandemic has done is forced couples who normally would kind of see each other passing to be together 24/7, right? So there has been a lot of human beings who have taken this time for self-reflection and working on self, and others who got so caught up or hijacked by the fear, the stress and everything that they didn't necessarily do that. So if we're together 24/7, I'm going to notice some things in my relationship that I didn't notice before, right? And even if I take that one step further into friendships, because what a lot of us did is form these pods. Well, all of a sudden, these are people that you're spending a lot of time with that maybe in the past you would not. So there has been a lot of working on self, paying attention to self-awareness, the three things that I tell my clients to focus on: self-awareness, self-regulation, and self-soothing. So if I'm working on those things and getting better at that, and the people that I'm in relationships are not, we're going to start to have a distance there, because they're going to want me to continue with our dynamic in the way that I did before. And that doesn't work for me anymore. So there are a lot of relationships that actually did not make it through the pandemic because of the fact that there was more awareness maybe about one person who was making some personal growth and the rest of the system not so much. And you know, the thing about a system, be it your friend's system, family system, it functions in a certain way. And when someone tries to step out of that system, the rest of the people in the system aren't necessarily going to like that, because they want you to come back into the system so it can function in the way that it always has, whether it's healthy or not. So I think a lot of people who took this time for self-reflection, self-growth, improvement, started to find that some of the relationships that had worked for them pre-pandemic didn't work for them in the same way. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Just everyone, you know, people are just have responded very differently, and we couldn't judge how someone was going to respond, you know, throughout the year or now even, you know, there's some people who are just still, even fully vaccinated, are just still very concerned. And other people who are so grateful to be fully vaccinated and just are done and now we're over it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was very interesting. As I mentioned, I used to be a nurse practitioner. Yeah. And so I felt very comfortable still seeing clients in person all the way through the pandemic, because I felt that I was practicing all the precautions that would keep it safe.
Yeah.
And so my clients kind of ran the gamut from clients who said, oh no, I absolutely want to come in to see face-to-face because I can't do this Zoom all the time.
Yeah.
And other clients who to this day I have not met because they still are not wanting to, they're limiting their interactions still. And I have been vaccinated, so that's not really a factor. It's more, you know, a real concern. And again, so much unknown. You yeah. know, we hear this one day and then the next day we hear something else. So human beings like consistency. We like to know what's going to happen next. And this has really thrown us into a real kind of unbalanced feeling. And I think it has taken some human beings longer to get back to balance than others.
Yeah. And we're still not done. We still only in Louisiana, we're only at 30%, I think, total. New Orleans is different. It's a bit higher vaccination, but Louisiana as a whole, I think, is at 30%. So we still have some time of uncertainty left.
Here. Absolutely. And if you go back to your friend who you mentioned that is looking at the world events, I mean, there are many places in the world right now who are not at all out of the woods. You know, I have a friend who's working in Singapore, and Singapore has now backtracked because their numbers have increased so dramatically again that they are back to, they've closed all their restaurants from eating in, they've closed all their gyms, their workers have to work from a home at least 3 days a week. So, and then, you know, you have what's going on in India and other countries. So even though in Louisiana or in the United States, we might be doing better, if you look at the rest of the world, there are some places that are really still struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's also that in the back of some people's minds is that, wait, what if that strain comes over here? Will the vaccine do anything for it? Does that still put me at risk? So again, I think if you look outside of just our immediate community, there is still a lot happening that I think would bring concern for some people.
Yeah. And I think, I just think about, you know, New Orleans specifically, so much of the population already has dealt with trauma in some form. I think I've seen like, it's like the, we're the most incarcerated city in the entire world. And that impacts almost every single family in one way or another. And then just the violent crime that has always existed within this city. And I think about my neighbors earlier this week, who literally from our porches, we were calling out names, you know, saying, you know, where is Fish? Where is Biscuit? Where is this person? Just to like keep tabs. And that's not because this was our first incident. That's because we know what to do when something bad happens, you know, yes. over and over again. And so I feel like this moment, though we have gone through a year and a half, now we're exhausted. And it is reminding us of other times in our lives when we have been that exhausted, or we have been that triggered, or we've been that angry or something like that. And so time is like this weird moment that doesn't exist, you know, isn't real, you know, because it's all time at all times. And so I feel like maybe New Orleans or other cities like Chicago, New York, we all kind of have similar situations in which we're dealing with years of things going wrong and this year.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when we think about what we went through with Katrina, you know, that was a huge, as we would say, big T trauma for the entire city. But as you pointed out, we do have a high crime rate and a high violence rate here. And we, if you want to stay here, I think we kind of learn to accept it and navigate around it a bit. So New Orleans may be different, kind of an exception.
Yeah.
Than many other cities. Maybe Chicago is one that I'm thinking of that I think has a high crime rate as well. But yeah, I mean, as you said, instead of somebody saying, I'm packing my bags and getting the hell out of here, it was, hey, is everybody okay? Just want to check in kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the community in which you live in does definitely have an impact on what your body is able to tolerate as far as stress and feeling threatened.
Yeah. And so the, and kind of like the tactics we are learning throughout this pandemic is also kind of helping maybe the other stuff that's happened in the past as well, because those things are coming up at the same time.
Absolutely. Again, I mean, you know, as human beings, we are wired to survive, and in circumstances that are not our normal, quote unquote, normal, we will adapt to try to continue to navigate. You know, that doesn't mean that there are some human beings who have been really derailed through this pandemic. They could not adapt enough. And, you know, they're experiencing a whole different type of exhaustion and fear that that is serious. I mean, I don't want to kind of just minimize that we have many people who have significant depression. You know, I think the suicide rate has gone up. And, you know, I think we just need to understand that not everyone has the same ability to adapt and navigate stressors and crisis. We don't all have the same ability to navigate it in the same way.
Right. I saw this post, you know, that someone shared, and it was, we all need a lot of gentleness right now, but we're all too tired to give that gentleness to other people. And so
very true. Very true. I mean, interestingly enough, I thought when the pandemic hit that I would have less clients.
Right.
And it actually went the other way. And I right now do not have any colleagues that I can even refer clients to, because all of the therapists are also overwhelmed and experiencing their own fatigue. So, you know, I think at this point, a lot of my colleagues are spending this summer taking quite a few weeks off.
Yeah.
Because I know for myself, I was working 6 and 7 days a week many times during the pandemic just to make sure that clients were seen, because there is an awareness that they needed an outlet. I have, because I used to be a nurse practitioner, I have a lot of clients who were in the medical field.
Yeah.
You know, all the way respiratory therapists, nurses, doctors. And this pandemic has been so traumatic for them. You know, what they saw, what they experienced. And I don't know if they are really getting the amount of attention and support from a mental health place, you know, that they really need, because what they experienced, having patients die alone, has really, really made an impact on them.
Yeah. What, I keep thinking, I mean, I've always been, even though I own a business, it's always been kind of like not very capitalist, even though I am like technically a capitalist. And just thinking about, you know, I also know a lot of young, really young people, because from my staff is very young, and their friends and customers coming in, and that there's, maybe it's happening in my generation too, but this younger generation is saying, especially right now, is saying, no, I'm not working 14-hour days, or no, I'm not working 6 more days. And I'm just, I feel like so proud of them to really lay out these boundaries in these work environments. And I personally feel, you know, we have shorter days, we're closing, we've kind of accidentally have been closing 1 day a month because we're trying to do a staff appreciation, but, and we're trying to go tubing, but the river has not been working for us. So we just keep picking another day. But I was like, wait, why don't we just close one extra day throughout the summer? Because we all kind of need it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we kind of, it's no almost no longer tolerated, almost because we literally can't tolerate it, of being, of like using our body to make other people money in so in extreme ways anymore. You know, like it's almost, for some of us, gifted us these new, stronger boundaries because we just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely given a new appreciation for a mental health day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really think that more people are really understanding what a mental health day means and that it's real. You know, in the past it was, oh, come on, suck it up, push through it, all this. And I think people are realizing, no, pushing through it and sucking it up is not good for your mental health. And ultimately your mental health impacts your physical health. There is, you cannot separate mind and body. You just cannot. And if I am stressed from a mental health perspective, my cortisol is up. My blood pressure is going to go up. I'm not going to be able to sleep. You're going to end up in this cycle that your body just cannot sustain.
Yeah.
So mental health is so important. And maybe the stress of COVID has highlighted that a little bit more.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like it's not going to end, you know, like in 3 months or whatever, if the United States does hit herd humanity of over like 70%, you know, vaccinated or however, not able to catch a severe case of COVID, it's not going to end our impacts, our mental health impacts, or even our body. Our body kind of holds on to that inflammation and that heightened state for a very long time afterwards.
Absolutely. You know, I always try to visualize a tree. If you cut down a tree and you look at the rings, you can usually tell like when there's been something happening.
Yeah.
It's the same thing for us as a human being. Our bodies absorb the trauma. It's like you're standing on the beach and getting hit with a tsunami over and over and over. And you can't not have your body be impacted by that. Your cells, you know, your function. So you have to work on repairing and healing that. And that has to be intentional.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so I'm all for everyone taking as many vacation days or time off or half days for the rest of the summer. that's my campaign for everyone.
No, I think, you know, I might be incorrect here, but I think the U.S. has less vacation days than most other European countries.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, there are some other countries who have like a nap time, a siesta time.
Yeah.
That's unheard of here. You know, we have to fight to get time off after we have children.
Yeah.
And so that's just not the same way it is in some other places. We are definitely geared towards work. And when it is mentioned that you might need a mental health day, I think it's looked as a weakness or a stigma. So people don't want to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you follow tennis, but that young woman, Naomi Osaka, I think is her last name. She just dropped out of the French Open. She's the best player, you know. Oh, you know, Serena is my girl. She's the best athlete in the world ever. But Naomi is following in her footsteps, you know, and she said that she has been dealing with depression since 2018 and that she gets very anxious. Like the anxiety is just overwhelming when she's giving speeches because she keeps winning. So she keeps having to go into that winner circle and do a press conference. And the Grand Slam tournaments refuse to give her an exception to not do these press conferences. And so she didn't do it the first day. And she got fined $15,000. And then, yeah. And then she said, and she's like, I'm not joking. Like, I'm not going to do any press conferences this tournament at all. I literally cannot do, I can't play tennis and do my best and do these press conferences. And so they threatened her and they mocked her online. This Grand Slam, the French Open, mocked her online and it was immediately deleted. And then she dropped out and she gave, you know, she's who we want to watch. You know, when we're watching these tournaments, it's Naomi and Coco is another one. And she's real young too.
Sure.
And she said a lot of athletes have come out in support of her, you know, have just said, you know, we're all different. You know, Serena loves, you know, the spotlight. She loves being out there. She's also, you know, 40 years old. She's been doing it forever. And her sister Venus, the same thing. And so it was just a really beautiful, and obviously that's not the situation anyone wants. She didn't want to be in that situation, but what a beautiful way to show everyone how to stand up for themselves.
Absolutely. And to not stigmatize it, right? Yeah. I mean, that's part of the challenge is that she got mocked originally, right? So part of the challenge is that, yes, I would like to speak up and say I struggle with depression and anxiety, but then I don't want to be made fun of for it or ridiculed for it.
Or pity.
So you kind of end up kind of picking your poison almost, like which one can you tolerate? It's mental health is really something I think that's very misunderstood, very much considered a weakness in some way. If you have depression, anxiety, anything other than you can figure out how to push through and navigate is seen as a weakness. And I don't understand that, because if someone was diagnosed with diabetes, they would be treated very differently than someone who's diagnosed with mental illness.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true, but maybe someone has never experienced depression before and all of a sudden they have been at home, maybe taking, you know, teaching, homeschooling and working and doing all this stuff. And now these are new experiences for them.
Absolutely. It does activate some people in many ways. If I feel like I'm failing at doing something that I really wasn't trained to do, like to be a homeschool teacher,
right. Yeah.
And I start feeling like I'm failing, that will activate some people in some way. Isolation. Some human beings are actually refueled by connecting with others, by socializing. And so when they are prohibited from socializing, they're not getting their refueling, which then can lead to depression. It's interesting because my clients who have done the best through the pandemic are kind of my reclusive clients, because now no one is giving them any kind of crap over staying home and not doing anything. So they're like, this is great. This is what I always wanted. I get to stay home and nobody's giving me any shit about it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, because I definitely need a lot of alone time, but I'm like, okay, I don't have to go anywhere, you know? And then I have some friends who are like, oh my God, now that everything's open, they're like, they have 7 or 8, you know, things that they're doing every Saturday and Sunday so that they are feeling like alive again, you know?
Right, exactly. And again, that's just knowing your body, you know? You need to know, do I get refueled by socializing, by connection? Or does that drain me? Because many people get drained by having to socialize or connect. They like that alone time. They like that self-care where they're just kind of feeding themselves. And there's nothing wrong with either one. I mean, that's the thing. We don't need to judge each other on which one is right and which one is wrong. It just is. Can we not just accept that people are different?
Yeah. I wanted to say about the Naomi, that tennis player, you know, that app Calm, they are paying her fine.
Good for them.
I know. And they're going to match any other athlete like that who goes through a similar situation. They're going to raise money and match their whatever the fine is, and then donate it to mental health organizations.
That's fantastic. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, I'm sure she received negative comments like, come on, be a big girl, pull your big girl panties up, just do what you need to do. And how is that fair? Right. You know, she is doing a lot. She is a top-notch athlete. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of focus. Okay, so what if she gets anxiety around public speaking?
Right, yeah. It has nothing to do with her serve.
Absolutely. So again, I think part of, you know, what you're seeing now with some of the annoyances and frustrations and all these things is people are right now, for some reason, being a lot more judgmental mm-hmm. of other people. There is a lot of, you should be wearing a mask. You don't need to wear a mask. You should be getting a vaccine. You don't need a vaccine. You're standing too close to me. There's a lot of this judgment that's happening. And I think it is coming from the exhaustion. Yeah. It's I think, anger kind of coming out sideways in a sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense that people are really angry too. You know,
yes.
We've lost a lot. Even if we haven't been directly impacted by losing a loved one or being sick ourselves, we've lost different things in different ways.
Absolutely. This has been a year and a half of being derailed from what we identified as our normal lives.
Right.
And that is a loss. Human beings tend not to really like change. And it has been very scary. There's not many people at this point who maybe didn't have a family member die from COVID, but maybe a friend of a friend, or, you know, everyone I think probably knows someone who was impacted by COVID, either died from it or has had a major life change. I mean, we have a lot of people who still are being impacted by some of the post-COVID symptoms.
Yeah.
We have a lot to be afraid of still, to be angry about still. I understand that. But at the same time, just always staying in this angry and afraid place is helping, or not helping, but is adding to the exhaustion, because you just keep in this place of being on guard. We've got to get out of that into more of a place of acceptance. This is where we are. This is what we're doing now. Not everybody is going to agree on everything, but you kind of have to follow the rules of the places that you go into or don't go into that establishment.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the things that I find people bring up often is no one has had a problem with the no shirt, no shoes, right. no service, when all of a sudden the mask is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the mask. It's just an anger from somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely.
It's showing up in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, this summer, as people are getting out more, I'm hoping that for more exercise, more meditation, more things that will help us all get our bodies calmed down some. And we can move into kind of more of a harmonious place again, because again, it's not just been COVID, our politics and this huge divide, that actually COVID has really played into, because one of the things that happened was we all were watching television. We were all on the internet. So that isolated us, and we all started watching the things that resonated with us. And as we're doing that, we're becoming more and more divided. So one of the things that COVID also did was it, through the isolation, I think it created more of a divide.
Yeah, you're right. We weren't hearing it from people we cared about, different perspectives or at the bar, you know, like with the great New Orleans, you know, pastime is you go to your local bar and you sit and the entire bar has one conversation with each other.
Yes.
You hear all kinds of different perspectives.
Yes.
We didn't get to have that. Or you sit outside the porch and you talk to everyone at the same time.
Absolutely. And we didn't get that. Instead, everything, and you know, the internet is geared that way. There was a, I think it was a Netflix special about social media, maybe the social media dilemma, is that?
Yeah.
And it really talked about how once you click on something or, look at something, it tends to the logarithm
algorithm. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It will feed that same information to you. So once it's noticing that you have an interest in something, it's going to keep feeding you the same information instead of feeding you different information.
Yeah.
So again, because we were using more social media, because we were more into certain television or certain, you know, shows on your computer, because now you can stream on your computer as well. We kind of got caught up in only watching one thing because we were kind of being fed. The one thing that you started to look at, you just kept getting that fed to you. So again, I'm hoping that once we start mingling again, you know, there's supposed to be Jazz Fest in October. Yeah. There's some things where hopefully we will start mingling again. We will start getting more open again to others having their own opinion and their opinion not being a threat to us.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about meditation. I was wondering if you would do just maybe a 3-minute meditation and maybe just, just something about like that exhaustion, you know, about the those moments when we're not sure why we're reacting the way we are. Just addressing that and how to just maybe just 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm just going to look at this. Okay. All right. So I'm going to do what I normally do, which is ask you to put both feet on the ground. And I just want you to just focus on breathing for a moment. And we're going to focus on breathing in the word calm and breathe out the word relaxed. Just simple 2 words, feet on the ground, breathe in the word calm, and let go with relax. And just notice how that feels in your body when you take a slow, deep breath in of calm and let go with relax. And we're going to try that one more time, slow, deep breath in of calm. And let go with relax. Keeping your eyes closed, we're just going to try to pay attention to what's going on in our body. Starting with the top of your head, move down your forehead, your eyes, your jaw, and your mouth. Breathe in that word calm and focus on that. And let go with relax. Keep going down your body, your neck, your shoulders. Make sure that you're dropping your shoulders, maybe wiggle a little. Going down your arms, your hands, and your fingers. Just focusing on breathing in calm. Let go with relax. Moving down your chest, your abdomen, and your back. Just slowly breathe in calm. Let go with relax. Allow yourself to feel safe, secure, at peace. If anything comes into your thoughts, just put them in a bubble and just blow them away. Focus on breathing in calm, letting go with relax. Stay in your body. Focus on your back, your legs. Go down your calves. Your ankles, your feet. Take a moment to notice your feet on the ground. Notice how that feels to be grounded, safe, secure, in your body, having control over your breathing. Take in that nice deep breath of calm. let go with relax. You have the ability to slow yourself down. Get in your body. Control your breathing. Feel grounded, safe. One more deep breath in of calm. Let go with relax. And really just ground yourself here for a moment. Safe. Calm. Relax. When you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Bring yourself back, feeling calm, relaxed, safe, grounded.
Thank you. That was great. Yeah. Like good late afternoon.
Good.
The only other question I have for you is, do you have any resources for folks to get some support right now? Maybe who don't currently have a therapist, or obviously we suggest if you can find a therapist to do so, but are there any other resources you suggest?
You know, it's really challenging right now. There had been a lot of family services open in the city that were on sliding scales. There are some agencies. So NAMI would be a good resource for people. I would definitely try to look at some of the agencies that have sliding scales. You can even start your own groups. I mean, groups are a great support system. Just having other people to vent with, to hear you. Of course, getting a therapist is a wonderful thing, but if you can't afford it, again, find yourself a group of friends where you can just sit down and listen to each other. Work on validating. Help each other with these listening skills that are going to help you be a better human being, a better friend, a better mother, a better sister. Slow down. Try to get more into your own body. The all the apps, you know, the one that you mentioned, Calm, there's so many apps now. I recommend a lot of my clients go to BrainSync. I don't get any money off of it. It's just one at BrainSync.com. I like the guided imageries. You know, there are many of us that struggle with just doing meditation.
Yeah.
We have a hard time clearing our mind. But guided imagery is so helpful for many of us. You're listening to someone, you're following their instructions, and they're helping you to slow down.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for talking to me and spending this time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
That's all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Making Good. You can find our podcast on all the platforms you find your favorite podcasts. You can also find a transcript of this episode and all of our episodes on our website, churchalley.store. If you loved this episode, please share it and let others know about the good work of Church Alley Cafe and Grocery. Thanks again for listening to Making Good. I hope you have a really good day. We'll see you next time.